This is XM and Morris. Plug in to the show.
This channel uses explicit language and subject matter. Any political or religious views do not reflect this channel's ideals, and any similarities to persons or places are coincidental. Listener discretion advice. You are listening to Maximum Horror.
All right, guys, you're listening to Maximum Horror. It's going to be me here with my little sister, Punk, and today we're going to talk about dolls. So to start off, we're going to start with everyone's childhood favorite, Slappy.
Slappy. Now, that's a nice one to start off with. Starts off kind of on the much lower end, not a murderous doll. Definitely creepy. Ventriloquist dolls are pretty highly revered as creepy.
Yeah, and if you guys don't remember, Slappy's the one from Goosebumps, that show we all watched when we were little kids.
That classic ventriloquist look, that wooden with that little black suit on that he wears. Super creepy, super classic look. Everyone knows who Slappy is, I think. You know? And if you haven't at least seen the Goosebump book series or the television series, you know those ventriloquist dolls. I don't know, I feel like they always have kind of a eerie, what if it talks on its own kind of a sense, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like you're just kind of, when you see them, you know that they're supposed to talk with the master, like controlling it, but it's one of those, when they're away, you're like afraid they're gonna talk by themselves.
The personality, their own personality.
Yeah. And as we know, like, Slappy himself was a little crazy, especially if you've seen the new Goosebumps movies. I have little nephews, so I get to see those movies all the time.
Even from an adult perspective, those are actually some pretty good movies. If you grew up into that kind of stuff, it was a pretty good movie. I like those.
Yeah, but Slappy, in those movies, you could tell he was already deranged already from the beginning. He was always
the Slappy from Goosebumps, the Slappy book set, is, I believe it's like three parts. I have part three. I have the third part of the book, and I haven't read it yet because I wanna read it from the beginning, you know? But those books are just so hard to get your hands on. They're collector's items now. Believe it or not, they're very expensive, those Goosebumps. Even the paperback Goosebumps, expensive. So I haven't seen, I don't really have a basis from the movie to the books. And the TV shows, those I watched in and out. But I didn't see any Slappy. I haven't seen anything Slappy other than the movie. So just based on the movie, you could tell Slappy's, like you said, demented. He has his own personality. He's extremely defiant. He's just an evil little guy, you know? Yeah. Even with R.L. Stein in the movie, he's fighting with his own author, his own creator, and absolutely not taking any of R.L. Stein's crap. And it's so cool that they give this guy so much personality. And I think that's what adds to the kind of the fear, you know, just, it's a little freaky, you know. Ventriloquists are revered in two ways. They're either really creepy or because of, you know, Jeff Dunham, people find them hilarious. And there's no middle ground. You're either terrified of them, you love them, or you hate them with ventriloquists.
Well, I'm pretty sure Jeff Dunham fears his things too. Why do you think he keeps them locked up in that suitcase?
In that box, they'd be pretty angry.
So when he's out, when he's not working, I'm pretty sure he chains them up. He's got some kind of deal going with them too.
I wonder.
His life isn't different than a horror movie. It's still the same deal. We just don't know it. But, so overall, like, you can't mess up a ventriloquist. I mean, it's that wooden face and everything. It even makes a silly character like Slappy look a little creepy.
Creepy, yeah. Even a child, like I said, that's only a PG, PG-13 movie. Slappy never really kills anybody. I don't think he never kills anyone because it's a kid's, you know, franchise. But
the fortunate thing is that since it's a kid's franchise too, we don't get like the cool
the full
creative
potential of what Slappy could have been.
Yeah, like all the kills that happen in the other ones. No, we get like a little like push and shove in the kids thing, but we don't get those like creative kills yet or like.
I would have loved to have
or,
seen.
Like, in the movie, they already know who Slappy is because of the books, so we don't even get that like reveal when everyone goes, "Holy moly, that doll's alive." We just automatically know it's already happening before anything else.
That was a good one in the movie, and I would have loved to have seen, because in the Goosebumps movie, you know, Slappy is organizes and it at one point is in charge of all of the monsters, which is pretty cool. It shows you the power. If this guy was able to harness the powers of all these other, well, not harness the powers, but, you know, be able to tell these guys what to do, all the other Goosebumps famous monsters, and, you know, he was able to direct them. And I don't want to give away the plot of the movie, but Slappy kind of, you know, grabs the reins, and he leads these other monsters to doing horrible things to this town. Take into consideration it's a kid's movie, so it doesn't get that out of hand. But had it been a rated R movie, I wonder what we would have seen from Slappy. We know he has power. We know he's strong. We know he's not stupid. I would have loved to have seen him for a more, like, an adult target audience. Something more vicious.
Something more like Dead Silence, where it's that other ventriloquist.
Yes, exactly like that.
Yeah, but then you have one, what's it, like, Tales of the Crypt, when they have that one episode, and I can't remember the name of the episode, but I remember it was unique in such a way that got me, because it's about a ventriloquist, and the guy has it locked up in the little box like they always do, and he has one hand, and like the whole episode, you don't know why he has one hand until near the end when he opens up the box, and there's a young ventriloquist that's trying to make a name for himself, and he goes and he sees this guy that's a legendary ventriloquist, right? And so he's like, hey, can you help me out? I need help with my act to get it better. And so he finds the ventriloquist dummy, and he learns that the original ventriloquist...
Dummy.
Sorry, that's my little nephew. He hears us talking here. But he learns... he learns... So anyway, getting back to the point. The younger ventriloquist, he discovers that the older ventriloquist, he has a twin brother that's stuck on his hand, and he's putting the twin brother inside of a ventriloquist dummy as a disguise and using him to perform the act. So the young ventriloquist goes ahead, and he chops off the older dude's hand, and he keeps it to perform the ventriloquist act himself. And at the end of the episode, the twin brother merges onto the new guy's hand, and he's stuck with this, like, deformed little monster that's pretending to be the ventriloquist for his show. And, of course, it's a little monster, so it's, like, murdering people throughout the whole episode and everything. It's worth giving a watch. And then you got, like, one of my favorite ventriloquists, Magic. Now, Punk here says she hasn't seen it yet.
No, I haven't seen Magic and Tales of the Crypt. I have watched, but there's so many episodes.
You just don't remember.
I don't remember. I remember some episodes, but no. Tell me more about Magic.
So in Magic, this one has Anthony Hopkins in it. And it's awesome because it's not so much that it's a possessed doll. They go a whole different way with this. And it's one of the, like, few dolls we're going to talk about here that actually has, like, no spiritual or, like, murderous intent. What happens is that Anthony Hopkins himself has, like, a split personality in the movie, and he's using this doll to, like, talk out his feelings to himself. So he's using the doll as, like, a personification of his split personality, and he's talking to himself, and he's murdering people in name of the doll.
So since you've seen this one and I haven't, can you tell, like, what does he look like?
Oh, it's like
what
your,
does he look like
your
here?
Classic
like,
ventriloquist doll.
The wooden
doll.
Look, or are we looking at...
Yeah,
what?
It's a wooden look with the eyeballs that move separate. So like in the movie,
how
the
cool.
Eyes move and everything. It's cool. It adds a lot of personality to the doll.
Definitely on a creepy, on this creepiness scale.
On the
what
creepiness
are we
scale.
At here? I've never seen him, so you're going to have to be a little...
It's good because by the end of it, you're not really sure if the doll is alive or not. Like they do a good job of making it look like the doll isn't just a split personality. Like, the doll really is, like, its own person listening to.
Yeah, he really, you know, gives so much character, so much personality. His own split personality is embodied into that ventriloquist that it comes to a point where it's like, oh, my God, is this guy
Yeah, it looks like
real
it's
deal
its
at
own
this point?
Real, like, doll. And it's a cool movie to check out. It's a little slow. It's an old movie, but...
You said there was no killing, not really any...
Oh, there's
murders,
some killing
or?
In it. Like, I think he kills, like, his wannabe girlfriend or something in there. Yeah, because he's socially awkward, so he has trouble, like, connecting to other people. It's one of the reasons why he, like, talks to the doll to begin with.
And what kind of kills do you see?
It's like an old little 70s babe. Movie. It's nothing, also, like, little, super creative.
So something on that. Okay.
Nothing super creative. Like, he strangles someone, and that's, like, that's it.
You're right. So I'm like, yeah, 70s, 80s, with the exception of your extremely, you know, up-and-coming movies yeah. during that, like, Evil Dead was a big one during that time. With the exception of the, you know, those are the exception. So yeah. it's just kind of like your basic
there's no, like,
budget, nothing too
there's
crazy.
There's no big, the big reveal's cool a little bit because it's, there so comes this, a point when people realize that he's just batshit insane and talking to himself.
That makes sense.
So, like, there's no, like the doll's not alive, but people, there's a point where people start realizing that this guy's just, you know, a crazy ass dude.
So this movie weighs more on, like, the emotions, more like the mental side. It's more of like a mental thriller.
Yeah, like the psychological, like you're seeing all the
psychological
junk he's going
thriller.
Through as opposed to, like, trying to scare us.
Yeah, though, and those are always, I always felt those were really underrated. I always thought those were underrated kind of movies because people like, doesn't have blood, doesn't have gore. Never knock a movie, even if it doesn't have blood or gore.
Oh, and it's great, like, just the trailer too. If you ever catch this trailer, it has a nice creepiness to it that I could always get behind. It's what kind of influenced me to watch the movie to begin with.
And you said that one was magic with Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah. Yeah, that one's magic with Anthony Hopkins in it. Really suggests that he's still young.
Well, young, Anthony.
Yeah, his hair's not white yet. That tells you something.
Because Anthony Hopkins is infamous for that Hannibal Lecter. Everyone knows who he is, you know? Yeah. At least in the horror realm. So I haven't seen that one, but I'm sold. You know, I like those psychological thrillers. I'm interested. I'd like to see that one. Definitely with Anthony Hopkins in it. That's something I got to check out. That's something I haven't seen, but I recommend other people to check out already with me. And then, to, you know, see what you guys think about a movie like that.
And then we also have the like, stepping away from ventriloquists. We always have our dolls that are still controlled by people. And I'm not talking about, like, the Saw doll, because the Saw doll is literally just another one of those puppets.
So from ventriloquists, you know, Slappy, Tales of the Crypt, and Magic, those were all ventriloquist dolls. But, you know, in horror, we don't have just ventriloquist dolls. We have, you know, there are so many different dolls that we can look at. We have the dolls that are, so then we have kind of dolls and stuff that are not so much by, you know, by the hand of what, you know, the ventriloquist themselves or just ventriloquist dolls in general. We have kind of demonically or voodoo ritualistic kind of dolls that are motivated in other means. And these are just your kind of average dolls. They don't even have to be your, you know, we were saying like that standard, you know, that wooden happy face in a little black tuxedo look. It's your classic ventriloquist look. But stepping away from that, we kind of, you know, we start to look into things that are, you know, dolls, of course, but still murderous dolls, and taking it up a peg in aggression and killing, we have dolls like Puppet Masters, famous, you know, creepy little guys.
Yeah.
I think everyone, if you haven't seen the movie, you have at least at one point in your life seen those dolls. Those dolls are pretty iconic.
Yeah, and, like, they're really creepy-looking dolls when you look at them separately, because you have, like, Blade, of course, who wears that old-timey top hat with the... The black trench coat,
he
and he's got a
real cool.
He's got a kitchen knife, which is
looks like a machete.
It looks like a machete
in his
a little hand, but he's got a big kitchen knife. And then you have like a what is it, the drill head guy?
I like the drill head guy. He's my favorite because you never. That's so unique. I've never seen a. Usually the dolls are just kind of a doll with a weapon. The doll was the weapon. I thought that was pretty unique for him. Drill head, I believe his name was, right?
Is drill head?
I think it's drill head.
So I don't remember all their names as much anymore. Because then you had the girl one used to freak me out when I was little. And I know it has sexual parts, so be careful if you let your kids watch this. But we grew up in that generation where we were allowed to see all kinds of random
stuff.
We're
90s babies. It was normal. It was normal for us.
But there's that scene where they have the female doll and she spits out leeches. And the guy's tied naked to the bed, and she's just puking out leeches on him.
Wow.
Yeah, and that, I don't know what it was about that one. That one used to, like, gross me out when I was a kid.
His name is not Drillhead. His name is Tunneler.
Tunneler?
Drillhead sounds better, I think.
Drillhead sounds better.
Tunneler sounds a little dumb. Oh, right here, your leech woman right here. I just pulled up just to be sure about the name, but yes. It says Leech Woman is literally the name of that character, is Leech Woman. That sounds horrific. Yeah. Sounds horrific, but that's what I'm saying. Don't, well, you know, stepping away from ventriloquists and going into more, something else is driving those dolls, and that varies, so I'm not going to say, oh, it's definitely demons, or it's definitely voodoo, or it's definitely occult-related. That always varies from movie to movie, and more specifically with Puppet Masters, they weren't really clear on what drove the dolls, other than the fact that their masters were telling them to kill, and they were killing. So it makes me wonder, I wonder what form of, what is that, witchcraft, magic, what have you, that makes them kill. I wonder.
Yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Because at the end of the movie, at least the first one, there's a scene where the old lady behind the counter has a stuffed cat. And in the last second, the stuffed cat comes alive and runs away.
Oh, wow. I don't
remember
that.
Like,
that sounds very
cool. You figure
they
can make peaceful dolls from the look of that one cat. But they decide to make these, like, ugly monsters, so...
Wow, I don't remember that, but that sounds good. You know, last time I saw this, I think I've only seen this movie like once or twice when I was a kid. So I kind of only remember the more intense parts, the more scarier. Just the characters I thought were scary. I don't really remember any death scenes. But the characters stuck with me because, and I give them credit, I loved the originality with those characters. Those didn't look like your average ventriloquist, your average porcelain doll. You know, the kind of things that people are generally scared of. They didn't just take a general approach to it. I think it was cool. Their dolls looked unique. Their dolls looked different. I'd never really seen a scary movie where their doll was like, you know, their dolls just look creepy. I don't know.
Yeah, like,
there was something about them that was just creepy. They didn't look like a ventriloquist doll. It's just a ventriloquist doll. If you think it's creepy, it's because you think it's creepy. Puppet Master dolls were just flat out creepy. No explanation. They just looked creepy.
Yeah, they just looked creepy. As soon as you saw the doll, you were like, oh, this sucker's going to kill me. There was no question behind it. You're like, nope. Stay away from that thing. As far as the kills go, this movie really did have some, like, creative ones with, what was that drill head guy? Tunneler. Yeah,
Tunneler.
Where he has one where he drills straight up through the bed and he kills a guy. And I go, you know, it's cheesy. You know what's going to happen.
Of course.
He has a big drill on his head. You know how he's going to do it. But you still can't wait to see how they're going to kill everyone. Like, when you see these puppets, it's pretty obvious how they're going to fucking kill people. And then you have, like, the movie Dolls, which was... It was creative, and I've seen it, like, once or twice also. But it was more realistic than Puppet Master, because these dolls, they look like regular dolls until they're ready to do the killing. It's in Puppet Master, when you see those dolls, you already know they're gonna kill you. They just have the look. They're designed with weapons and stuff already in hand.
Oh, yeah. You know, if Puppet Masters, those dolls look so menacing, you can tell right off the bat that's definitely a bat. That's a big red flag, you know.
Yeah, but like in the movie Dolls, they're just regular dolls, and the guy that they rent the hotel room from or whatever it was, he's a doll maker. He just has regular dolls. And throughout the movie, they transform. Like, they have a scene where there's a giant teddy bear, and it turns into, like, a real bear, so, like, it's a different kind of
magic
bear.
That was an interesting little scene, because you see this big old teddy bear, and you're kind of, well, when I first saw it, I know it was a horror movie, but I can't help it. It's the girl in me. I saw a big, big teddy bear, and yes, it is the size of an actual bear, cute little teddy bear, and I'm all like, oh, look at it, I want to touch it, I want to hug it, and out of nowhere, a bear just rips off, and it just rips off kind of like...
Yeah,
like
grows.
He was wearing a suit, and it just kind of like... the face kind of like melted into a bear, and then the rest of it just kind of like ripped off. It was interesting, but cool. I give major creative points
for
that.
Yeah, because you're right. They made it look like a bear was wearing a teddy bear suit for that scene, and that's pretty awesome.
I didn't expect that one coming. I didn't see that one coming. A bear ripped out. That was a pretty cool...
But I give it to him for being skilled, because there's that scene where the lady gets shot by all the little army nutcrackers. And no, but get this. Not only is he able to make dolls, he's able to make functioning weapons of that small proportion.
That's true, too. I did not take that into consideration.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So that's like an interesting one in itself, like just to make the tiny little guns to begin with. And then... you have, like, the scene with the girl with the eyes when they're making her into a doll, and you're like,
that
oh, that's pretty cool. And it's, of course, it's the cover right there of the poster, if you've seen this poster.
Just porcelain. It's a real woman, mind you. And I guess they killed her because she wasn't moving.
She's in the process of turning into
so
a doll. And
she has like this glass porcelain face, super shiny porcelain face, and she's dead because she's the way she's just kind of hunched there on the floor, like sitting up on the floor, you can kind of tell, she's dead. And her body kind of shifts and little eyeballs, glass little eyeballs fall from her head and roll out. And I thought that was pretty, it sounds cheesy. Keep in mind, this movie was made in the 80s. So, you know, not the best, you know, resources, but it was cool, the idea, the intent. And it wasn't even, like, horrible graphics. It still looked really good. Her face did look like a porcelain doll. And what I really like in movies is whenever there is eyeballs get taken out, I like to see, and I don't know if it's just the nasty part of me, loves to see what the hole looks like, the socket. I want to see what that socket looks like after them eyeballs have been pulled out. Dolls did not disappoint. It was weird. Of course, because she kind of turns into a doll when she dies. So when her little eyeballs pop out, they look freaky. The little sockets they leave behind. I would see that one. You know, that was a pretty good one. You can even just Google dolls, and that eyeball scene is gonna be one of the first ones that pops up. I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah.
Very
cool. That one's
cool.
Pretty brutal. Like, they have the scene where they're ramming that girl's head into the wall over and over again. It's a brutal movie. If you want to see your basic, like, violent slasher where they die in moronically, like, overdone ways, it's worth giving a watch.
It was a good one. The one where they bash her face into the floor, and that was cool, because they, every time they pulled her away from, you know, away from the floor, they would show her face and then bash her face in again, and then, you know, it was cool because you can slowly start seeing how they were building up the makeup. I don't know if you noticed that, but
yeah.
Her nose eventually got broke, and she eventually started having more blood coming down. And it was just cool because they would ram her face in a couple times, show you her face, ram her face in. And I am a sucker for effects, makeup, and all that kind of stuff.
You can't
so
beat
for
the
me,
80s for that.
Especially the 80s, you know, post-CGI, I just have a major appreciation for the makeup. And this movie was really good on the makeup. You know, the bear scene, it's the 80s. They didn't have CGI. It wasn't as great.
Yeah, it was
so
like
that scene was definitely done, you know, makeup effects. You could tell by looking at that scene. It might have had a little bit of help with, you know. I know that they were in their earlier phases of, you know, doing that. Because Back to the Future, I know, kind of came out around the same era as this movie. And they had a little bit of camera, you know, camera tricks, a little bit CGI. This movie, you could tell they didn't really do that. They did, you know, makeup. It was all makeup. And
it
was
pretty
cool. You
gotta remember, 80s horror was low budget. They were just, like, pumping them out like crazy back
in
the 80s.
That's true. And I feel even for, you know, as many movies came out in the 80s, they had a lot of
iconic
movies came out.
You got
to
think about the Poltergeist with the little ghost clown.
And that's another thing that, you know, we overlooked was Poltergeist right there, that clown.
Oh, that clown was,
you know,
everyone's horror nightmare fuel for when it first came out.
Clowns in the 80s was coming up. I mean, you know, we'll have a whole separate podcast on
that
one.
That was a whole clown. It was a clown. Plus a doll. That was like the double creepy effect. And then its arms stick out, like stretch out from under the bed
and grab
the kid.
Mm-hmm. That one was a good one. We'll do a separate podcast
Not to mistake with Scary Movie with the Uncle Ray Ray.
And he wraps
around his neck.
His big old ding-a-ling wraps around that clown's neck and he rapes that clown. Now that's a parody. I recommend, if you're a horror fan, I highly recommend all of those Scary Movie movies. Those are great, funny movies. I think they're like five of them. They make fun of horror movies. Hilarious. That was a good one. But you know, with Poltergeist and stuff, I didn't think about, you know, that doll was, you know, fueled by a poltergeist. And that poltergeist, well, that was just a whole manifestation of evil in general. And it leads me to think, you know, with evil dolls, you know, Puppet Masters, that was just evil, pure evil. Wasn't too specific on what was motivating them, you know, but we do have other examples we could draw from that are motivated and personal, lead to a little more personal stories.
All right, well, we'll get that one on next podcast, guys. So
we also have, in addition to our crazy poltergeist type of dolls and anything, just that one was more spiritually manifested, just kind of everything, you know, it wasn't really here or there. But, you know, That is cool. We could. So that's about all our time for now. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast on different kinds of dolls out there. This is just kind of a part one. We have another part coming up soon. And that one is, you guys are going to definitely be into. We're going to talk about voodoo dolls and more specifically our personal experiences and our personal stories that we've experienced with voodoo dolls.
I know we haven't covered some of the major dolls like Chucky and Annabelle. We know they're hot right now. Those two we're going to try to get into later. So stick around and keep listening to Maximum Horror.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. This is my first episode. Sorry if the editing was a little off, but I'm going to try to get better at it. So stick around for more episodes, and you know you're listening to Maximum Horror.